Hey everyone, welcome back to Sprint Race. My name is Emma Ridgway and today we're back talking about Formula One. If you're a regular listener of the show, then you'll know that I've been spending the first episodes of this year talking all about Formula E. And whilst the season has been pretty incredible, the very first race of the Formula One season got underway last week in Bahrain, and I have a fair few things to say. I want to talk about comebacks, and I'm doing this in the spirit of a particular story from Bahrain and also something that happened this week, which I think ties it together really, really nicely. Now, going into Bahrain after the testing, I'll be honest, I wasn't feeling particularly excited based on the outcomes of the actual tests, and part of it was the predictability. And that's why for this episode, I'm not going to talk about what actually happened in the race to its fullest. There are things that are worth talking about. For example, Ferrari apparently getting rid of their gremlins only to have a DNF on the first race of the season. The fact that Red Bull look completely dominant. The fact that Mercedes thought again that they had the potential to get back up there. They had stuck to the car that they had designed last year, but again, it turns out that that isn't quite where they want it to be. All of those are worthy stories of today's episode. But there's one story in particular that I want to talk about. And that is the comeback of Fernando Alonso. Now, you might be like, Emma, come on, Fernando's been around forever. This is not a comeback of sorts. Or you might be like, it's been one race. Calm down. Both of those are valid, but I am going to hedge my bets and I am going to put my relatively small reputation on the line and say, this is exciting. So what happened? Well, it all started in testing, and there were rumours that the Aston Martin had a bit of an advantage. But I think due to the fact that Aston Martin finished 7th last year, they got a pretty good deal when it came to the wind tunnel. That plus the fact that Lawrence Stroll has been throwing money at Aston Martin for the last few years. And finally, the fact that they had Sebastian Vettel, a very intelligent driver, in last year's car, it felt like it all came together. And so what happened during testing? Well, they did pretty well. They were coming second, third, even sometimes topping the timings over the 3 days with Fernando Alonso in the car. It's just a test, right? Sure, it does count, but when that car gets to the track, that's when we're going to find out. In the back of my mind, I was optimistic. I even put a poll up on my Instagram, and I even gave you all the chance to vote, hey Emma, you're reaching. You're crazy here. And some of you actually voted for that, so yeah, thank you. But all jokes aside, I posted that because I truly thought that Fernando would do well in Bahrain, and well, here we are. I've let the dust settle for a couple of weeks, and I still feel like Fernando is going to go far this season. So what happened in Bahrain? Well, long story short, he ended up on the podium. Arguably, yes, he wouldn't have gotten that podium if Ferrari had not DNF'd with Charles Leclerc, but looking at some of the overtakes that he did, particularly on Lewis Hamilton, around a corner where overtaking never happens, highlighted some pretty important parts of that car, notably when it comes to the braking. It seems as though the Aston Martin has the ability to brake a lot deeper into a corner. The brakes on that car, I'm not a fully technical person, but my understanding is the Aston Martin can turn a normal non-overtaking corner into an opportunity. And that is incredibly exciting. I loved the duel with Lewis Hamilton. They've both got a long history of being frenemies, and you know that I'm a big Hamilton fan. I loved that battle. And I loved seeing Fernando back on the podium for his first race in Aston Martin. So now you have the context, probably wondering where the comeback is in this regard. Well, I happened to watch the Oscars on Monday. And one of my favourite things about that night was the fact that one, Michelle Yeoh, who is of course the wife of Jean Todt, the former president of the FIA, won an award for Best Actress. And she said something in her speech which I really related to. She was being very specific, but I think the context can be applied to many different scenarios. She said, "Ladies, don't let anyone tell you that you're past your prime." Now, Michelle Yeoh is 60 years old and has just won an Oscar for Best Actress. And not only that, the other actors who won in similar categories have all been in the industry for decades. And looking at the outcome of that night, and particularly to what Michelle said, I loved that people who've been around in this industry for years and years and years were back at the top. And I immediately felt that way when I saw Alonso back on the podium. Think over the last 4 or 5 years, there has been this rhetoric in Formula One to push out the older drivers. I've seen it with Sebastian Vettel last year. A lot of people were sad to see him go, but you read the comments on articles or on social media or Twitter and you see things like, make room for a younger driver. The year before last, when it was clear that Oscar Piastri hadn't gotten a seat in Formula One, that there was a lot of upset people who were looking to the likes of Fernando Alonso, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, and saying, get going. And it's upsetting to see because we want to see the best 20 drivers in the world. And so I think there's some really positive outcomes for this. One being the return of K-Mag at the beginning of last year. I think Jean Haas and Gunther Steiner had a few options there and they could have chosen youth, but instead they chose to pair Mick Schumacher with an experienced driver. And that worked out so well that they've brought in another experienced driver this year to replace Mick Schumacher with Nico Hülkenberg, and has already proven 13 years after his initial F1 debut that was a really good decision by Haas. It isn't the case with everyone. Like, for example, I think Kimi Raikkonen had very much checked out of Formula One probably a couple of years before he retired. But for a number of the quote-unquote older drivers left in the paddock right now, I think a lot of them have still got something to give. Hamilton has said he won't give up until he reaches that 8th title. And I think he's still got many, many years left to try and do that. And so when I watched the Oscars this week, it filled me with so much joy, particularly what Michelle Yeoh said about not being past your prime. So, Saudi Arabia Grand Prix, you know how I feel about racing in Saudi Arabia, so I won't add to it here. I think it's clear who I'm going to be rooting for, and not because my reputation is on the line. Next weekend is the Sao Paulo E-Prix, and I will be in the paddock interviewing drivers, hopefully, if I can get hold of some of them. And I will upload any interviews that I have from that race on the next Formula E episode. If you don't already, follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I am at Sprint Race on TikTok, at Sprint Race Show on Instagram. And until next time, thank you very much for tuning in.